Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Monday, April 8th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose. Producer Dan is along for the ride as well, and I hope everybody had an amazing baseball weekend, even if your favorite team lost its ace because of arm injuries, which we'll get to momentarily. Plouffe, I hope you're doing great. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person this Friday at our first ever live edition of Baseball Today. And there's only a handful of tickets, like less than 15 remaining for general admission down at Boomtown Brewery in downtown Los Angeles. We hope to see everybody out there, right?
It's going to be a great time. I always talk about this. Like, it's nice to have a community on the internet. You know what's nicer than that? A community in person. So we're going to get the, you know, rub elbows, drink some beers, talk baseball, because that's what we love to do. So come hang out with me and C Rose. I'll have some of my buddies in the room as well, possibly Olivia. I think she's like almost guaranteed to come hang out with us.
Please do. It's before the Padres Dodgers game. Remember, there's a shuttle that'll take you right to Dodger Stadium, just a few steps away. So if you want to go to that game at 7 o'clock, general admission doors open at 5. We've got the live show, we got Q&A, we got pictures, all sorts of stuff. We'll hang out and have a brew with you. We cannot wait. It's going to be
it's kind of like tailgating, right? Like,
essentially.
Yeah, come tailgate with us and head over. You got a shuttle that'll take you right to the stadium.
shop.johnboymedia.com to get those last few general admission seats. We cannot wait to see you once again on Friday. In the meantime, start with a tip of the cap, some good pitching news. Ronel Blanco, most people didn't even know his name until he threw a no-hitter against the Toronto Blue Jays in his previous start. And so what does he do? Sunday night baseball for the world to see against the world champion Texas Rangers. He goes out and he does his thing yet again. Plouffe's moving all over the place. Don't worry about that. We'll settle him in right there. I know it was a crazy weekend, so his head's bouncing all over. Don't worry. But as for Blanco, took a no-hitter into the sixth. He recorded 44 outs this year before giving up a base hit this season. Good for this dude.
Yeah, he really looks nasty too. This isn't just like a sleight of hand thing. Like, his stuff is playing, and then doing it against the Rangers in a time where you got thumped the first two games of the series and you have essentially become the stopper for your team. How about that for the Astros? I know the record doesn't look good, but now all of a sudden you found a guy to plug in your rotation. Which is nice for them, but he's looked great. And even the hit, it was just this far away from being a little too far off the end of the bat. He could have continued. Who knows how far this guy would have gone, but definitely a nice start to the season for him, man. This is like the stuff the dreams are made of, to be honest with you. You wait that long to kind of go and have your chance at the big league level, and this is how you started. I mean, like I said, I believe last episode, like, he's going to get much more run than he would have before because of the way he's performed at the beginning of the year. So shout out Ronel. Cambio Blanco, my guy.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're going to kick it off with the barking elbow portion of the program. A pair of aces could be done for the year. The one in Cleveland, Shane Bieber, is Tommy John surgery slated in his future. Spencer Strider, the Atlanta Braves, he has to go see the lead orthopedist for the Texas Rangers before his future is determined. He's been placed on the injured list, and it doesn't sound good. He could be headed to a second Tommy John surgery if things don't go well. Now, the Major League Baseball Players Association came out and said it was the pitch clock shaving yet another couple of seconds in the offseason while runners are on base, that this is the big thing to blame. Major League Baseball came back and said, no, we have extensive research done through Johns Hopkins that this is not the cause of it, that it's because players are chasing velocity and increased spin in the game, and that's the main culprit here. I don't care about the finger pointing. I would like something done, but are we past the point of no return with this, Plouffe?
Oh, I mean, there's no easy solution. I think there could be something out there, Chris, but it's going to take some time. And this is not going to be something that gets solved overnight. I do want to point out that I don't think this is this isn't just a singular problem. I don't think it's just velo. It's just spin. I do believe the pitch clock has had an effect. I do believe that the balls you know, essentially being slicker for guys because you're not able to use foreign substances as much as you used to. I think that has something to do with it as well. But this is obviously a huge problem in our game. And it's not just at the major league level. It's not just at the minor league level. I sent a quote to our Talking Baseball chat, and Jake and I just had a massive discussion on this on Talking Baseball. But there was a quote from Dr. Andrews, who's performed a ton of these surgeries, and he's talking about how it's an epidemic at the youth level. He says he's doing more Tommy Johns at the youth level than he is in pro sports, which is crazy to me. And I think that right there, those ones are a byproduct of chasing velo. And it's not that, well, yeah, I mean, of course the players are chasing velo, but it's because the guys that are that have the velo are getting rewarded. Like if you baseball players are just trying to make it, just trying to get rewarded, whether that means you're getting a scholarship to go play at a college or getting drafted or making it to the big leagues, like you're just doing what the teams want. The teams want velo. The teams wanted slug. That's why we had, you know, an increase in strikeouts and three true outcomes, because they were paying for slug. They're paying for velo now. The guys that are getting opportunities have velo. So it's not just the players doing it. This is an industry-wide problem. So I don't know what the solution is. I tried to offer a few on our Talking Baseball show, one of them being like, get rid of radar guns in youth baseball. Like we shouldn't be having kids at showcases that are 12 years old, you know, thinking about how hard they're throwing. I mean, my son is 8 and he's asked me, Dad, how hard do you think I throw? It's in everybody's mind. And it's ridiculous. Andrews in that quote says the Tommy John ligament doesn't mature until you're 26 years old. We're putting so much stress on this ligament, trying to throw as hard as we can. At the youth level, it's just hurting guys then. It's hurting guys for their future. So, I mean, I do think that it's not just velo. I think there's a lot of things that have come into it. And the Players Association coming out and saying, you know, the pitch clock is part of it. You got to believe that too, because that's not just Tony Clark saying that. That's like him getting feedback from the guys that are on the mound. Like they feel like they're not getting enough recovery time in between pitches, and that is causing, you know, added stress. So I wouldn't just dismiss that because Major League Baseball says, hey, man, Johns Hopkins University says there's no correlation. How do we know? We've only had the pitch clock for a year and change. So don't tell me that you know about that. Sure, you had it in the minor leagues for a little bit as well, but, like, I don't think we've had enough time to know the effect the pitch clock has had. So, like, to answer your question, like, I don't know where we go and or how to solve this, but I think we need to start doing something. Whether that is, like I said, taking velo out of the youth game and radar guns out of the youth game, I don't know, man. But it's not going to be an easy solution, number one, and I don't think it's going to be done anytime soon, just because the reward is too great for players.
If you are going to fix something, you have to want to fix it. So that's the first thing. Does baseball want to fix it or not? And I think it's a series. It seems easy. Like, of course you'd want. We'd rather have Spencer Strider and Shane Bieber and Yuri Perez out there throwing the baseball than not. Of course we would. But do you really want to do the hard work that it's going to take to reverse this trend? Because as you mentioned, everybody's got a little piece of this. As long as people are chasing money, meaning the game, by shortening the clock, they weren't doing that because they were like, oh, it might be fun if we have shorter games. They're doing it so that they can get more fan interest so they can continue to line their pockets. Players are chasing velo because it'll make them richer. Places that will teach you how to chase velo do it not out of the goodness of their heart, but so that they can expand their clientele and become richer and richer and richer. And I get it. I understand. I like making money too. Like, it's fun. You know what's hard? Standing up for what's right. And once again, we talk a lot about leadership on this show. What would it take? I would love to hear Tony Clark, and if not Rob Manfred, somebody from the league office who knows a lot about this, sit together at a table and say, we recognize there's a problem. There's no need for us to issue statements and finger point, but rather join hands and say, we are going to be the leaders of this, of making sure that there aren't kids 14 years old having Tommy John surgery, to make sure that all these academies that will teach you how to throw with weighted balls and increase your velocity by 7 miles an hour from one season to the next, that those don't exist. I mean, what are we doing?
I think that's tough for me. I mean, I get what you're saying, and like, I do believe that a Manfred Tony Clark discussion should take place. I don't know where it's going to go and what it's going to consist of, but it has to start at the youth level to me. You can't just say this is a Major League Baseball problem. Like, there's no pitch clock in youth sports. Yeah, they need to make the focus on the youth here.
Totally.
And then, you know, have it drive up into the big leagues, you know, over in the next decade or so. But, like, yeah, that's – I think that is the problem. And like I said, it's radar guns at these showcases for 12-year-old kids. What are we doing? Why are we doing so many showcases? Why has it become such a year-round thing? It's all money, Chris. It's all money. I sit and watch my son and all these travel teams and all these programs that just churn out, you know, 2-7U teams, 2-8U teams, and they're playing all these games year-round. And it's too much. And until there's a change at that level, there's never going to be a change at the big league level either. So it's got to start from the bottom and then work its way up. I just don't know. There's so many people making so much money off all this stuff. Like, how are you going to stop it?
Wait, I'm guilty of this. I took Brady when he was thinking about maybe trying to play college baseball. So he was probably 16. I took him to a place during the summer. I drove him 35 miles each direction to go work on this. And I saw it, and listen, they were nice people. I'm not saying they weren't nice people, and they were like, you know, here's your warm-up drill. We walk you through it. Like, you felt like you were being taken care of. But if you think about it, it's a bunch of dudes standing around inside of a netted pitching area where they're all getting hyped up and trying to throw the ball as hard as they can. Maybe it does work. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying, is it really
at what cost?
Best? Is it the best for this sport? And as we've mentioned, there's all sorts of contributing factors. And yes, when I said that whether it's Manfred or somebody else in the league office needs to sit next to Tony Clark, the first words out of their mouth has to be, this is an epidemic at every level of baseball, including Little League. It has to start with us as grownups. Like, I'm kind of embarrassed that I took him there. I am. I'm kind of embarrassed that we started chasing the velo train. I've been around this game an awfully long time. I wanted because at the time Brady was interested, and I was like, okay, well, if he gets his velo up, he's got a big body, big lower half, he could do this. He wanted to do it. Maybe I did the wrong thing.
I mean, I don't think you can blame yourself on this. I think we're all part of the problem. And my question to, you know, Major League Baseball and these teams and these front offices is, you know, we're chasing velo because the margin for error is greater, and, you know, we're trying to get major league hitters out, and we think velo is the way to do that. But if you really, I mean, can somebody explain to me, like, has hitting gotten that much worse? I know batting average went down when we were chasing the 3-2 outcomes, but, like, OPS has kind of stayed steady throughout, you know, baseball history almost. Like, you know, it's right around, you know, low 700s. That's what's the Major League average for OPS from all the teams is going to be. I mean, there's a few years in the steroid era where it went a little bit higher, but for the most part, we're talking 730, 720, 750s. Like, are we really, like, combating offense so much with velo as we're chasing this velo? Has it changed that much?
Well, I can only
tell
you.
Has it made that much of a difference?
Listen, Brady's a senior in high school. We're a decent program, but we're a small school, so we're not playing upper levels of Southern California, which is ridiculous baseball, like you played. And even where we are, the pitching is so far ahead of the hitting. Just because you find one kid that throws in the upper 80s, even, you're like, can't do much with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have one or two kids that can consistently hit it or barrel it up. But
at the youth level, velocity wins all the time.
Yeah.
Like, wins out bar none. Like you just mentioned, if you're throwing upper 80s in high school, you're going to dominate for the most part. You know, save a few. I mean, yes, the baseball around here is kind of used to it by now because you're facing, you know, three guys from each school that can throw in the upper 80s. But for the most part, if you're chucking it that hard at the youth level, you're going to be successful. And that's why people are chasing velo, and that's the problem. And man, my head hurts just thinking about it, dude. And I got a son too, and I don't know what the heck I'm going to do.
All I can tell you is good luck. I got about a month left of it, and then I don't know. I will say this. Go find Justin Verlander's interview from his rehab start on X. It's excellent. It's like 6-7 minutes. Really, really good stuff from one of the best in the game. All right. Let's talk about what this means for the respective baseball teams of Spencer Strider and Shane Bieber. Once again, Bieber is done for the year. Strider, we do not know yet. But let's start with the Braves since they're one of the World Series favorites. We don't have to spend a ton of time, but let's talk a little bit about what this means for them moving forward if they don't have him for most, if not all, of the season.
Let's expedite this a little bit. I'll take Braves. You take Guardians since you know that as well as anybody. I think the Braves have enough pitching to get through this year without Spencer Strider. That's the bottom line. I mean, they have, I know Max Fried got banged around in his last start, but you got Max Fried. Chris Sale looks really good. You know, Lopez at the back end of the rotation there has looked good. Like they just kind of have enough. They have Schmidt-Shaver and Schuster there. Like they have guys to be able to fill this. Plus their offense can carry their team, you know, as far as they want to go. I mean, they're leading pretty much every offensive category team statistic wise. So they have, I think, it's nice to have a Spencer Strider, obviously. I would say he is their ace, even though Max Fried, I don't know why he's not considered their ace, like with the things that he's done. But without him, they still have enough where I think they're probably going to win the NL East. They can still win the World Series. And that's just a testament to what they've been able to build there in Atlanta to say, we're going to take Spencer Strider away from you. And for me to be on here saying it's not going to cause that much of a disruption. So I think they're going to be okay. It sucks, but they just have enough depth, Chris. They built up enough depth where they're able to weather the storm, especially if Chris Sale continues to look like how he's looked.
And most importantly, remains healthy. He also didn't mention Charlie Morton. They also have Elder, who last year was an all-star, still trying to regain that form that he had in the first half of last year. As far as the Guardians go, first of all, I want to start with just Shane Bieber. Because he worked so hard to get to this point, meaning months from free agency. And that's a tough thing. I don't think he's thrown his last pitch in a Guardians uniform. My guess is, knowing who he is and knowing the situation, that he probably signs a 1-1, meaning they'll sign him to a 2-year deal, one where they know he won't pitch next year and one where they know he will pitch in 2026. And then he'll re-enter the free agent market at 31. That's my guess the way it goes. We've seen plenty of pitchers do that in recent times, so I don't think their relationship is over after this season. As far as what it means for Cleveland, it's a gut punch. I know this is an amazing 7-2 start under a new manager, new leadership, and people will say, hey, listen, it's next man up, which it has to be. But when you're looking at the rest of this rotation, Tristan McKenzie is a guy who dealt with elbow injuries. Last year, velocity is way down this year. We're hoping that he makes it through. They've got young guys, Gavin Williams. He hasn't thrown a pitch yet. He had a balky elbow during spring training. Hopefully he gets back soon. Then they've got Tanner Bibee, Logan Allen, their top two pitching prospects in the minors, Espino and Cantillo are injured. So it's tough. They're trying to thread a needle there in Cleveland, and they're going to have to rely on some guys like a Ben Lively, a Xavion Curry, guys like that. We'll see if they can do it. It's definitely not Shane Bieber, who 1 week ago we were talking about, is he back all the way?
And I hate mentioning this because I don't want to put any onus on Driveline, because I think they do really good work and they've helped a lot of guys, but he went there to what, Chris? Increase his velo.
Increase his velocity.
One cleanup. I said Jared Schuster. He's on the White Sox now.
Yeah, he got traded.
That's my bad, guys. You know what I'm saying. Atlanta has a lot of depth.
They do.
We're going to be okay.
They do. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll all be okay. You'll be okay because baseball today is brought to you by Fubo. This is a Monday through Friday show. So when you join us, you got to be plugged in. You got to be dialed in. And so when we're talking about baseball, you need to be up to date. And if you plan on following along, you're going to want to watch as many games as possible. And the best way to do that is with Fubo. Fubo is a live TV streaming service with the most major league games that you can get without cable TV. Now, with Fubo, you can get up to 350 live channels. That includes the must-haves for the baseball season, ESPN, Fox, MLB Network, MLB.TV, and much, much more. And to learn more about Fubo's channel lineup and secure your exclusive 14-day free trial, all you have to do is visit FuboTV.com/JohnBoy. Please do that so you can feel better about joining in with us, whether it's the live edition or later on with YouTube or wherever you download your podcast. We just want you to be here and enjoy it. I'll tell you who's enjoying life so far through the first 10 days of the season. The team whose hat I am donning, and what a clean look this is. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they are tied for the best record in baseball. They took a series from the Baltimore Orioles. The O's actually with an E to give a dub to Pittsburgh.
And a bouncing ball headed up the middle. Diving stop. Henderson throws it away. The game is over. The Pirates are going to win it. They're going to win it on a wild play at the end. Can you believe it?
I can believe it. I actually can raise the Jolly Roger. They are now, we got tricked a little bit into this last year. Remember, they started 22-8. They couldn't keep the momentum going. But we talked about them in the offseason, that they actually have a serviceable lineup, that they've got some interesting young pitching in their rotation. And, oh, by the way, they've got Paul Skeens waiting in the wings, who is building up. Shouldn't he be up here by the end of the month?
I think yes, and for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, he has nothing like left to prove in the minor leagues. Like, just, you know, what this guy is able to do, clearly his stuff will play at the big league level. But what I think it does for the Pirates and their team is, yeah, you mentioned we started off hot last year, but then it kind of all fell apart. This will signal to them that this year is different. Hey, we started off hot this year. The offense is going. Like, they're performing at a very high rate up and down the lineup, which is very nice to see. They've had some good starts out of their starting pitchers. The bullpen's been great. If you bring up a guy like Skeens, it just signals to your team, like, hey, like, we're going for this. This is not last year. This is different. Like, we think we can win this division, which I believe Eno Saris picked the Pirates to win the division. So good on Eno. But yeah, to answer your question, he should be up. He should have started the year with the Pirates. There's no reason whatsoever for that guy to be down in the minor leagues right now.
Well, he only pitched, I think, 7 innings after he got drafted last year. So to me, I don't know enough about this stuff. Like, when you basically lie dormant since your, you know, College World Series days, is it smart to have him then? I just don't know.
What's the difference?
About that stuff.
He's pitching regardless. Would you rather have him on your team or throwing for your AAA team?
Yes, but, you know, he's only going 3 innings a time, right? So now they're trying to build him up. Like I said, I don't know enough about that. And we just spent 20 minutes talking about arm injuries. So not that there's any right answers, because some teams have slow played a guy and it still hasn't mattered.
Yeah, Yuri Perez.
Right. Great point there. So Skeens at AAA, 6 innings, 0 runs allowed. 1 hit. He has walked 1, struck out 11, 61 strikes while throwing 90 pitches. And the number of pitches that he has thrown 100 plus miles per hour is insane.
Yes.
Part of the reason is you are living on borrowed time with these guys. We don't know whether an arm injury is going to listen, hopefully it never happens. But look at the odds. The odds are good that at some point he's going to blow out. So let's start using him. Let's start using him in a year where we don't know who the best team in the National League Central is. Let's put him at the top of this rotation and go. What? What's the problem?
And you just put like bad juju out into the world. So I just like crossed it out. Bam. Right away.
I get it. That's true. Hey, you know what? You can throw my, that's fine. You want to use me as my bad juju as part of the problem with arm injuries? I'm fine with that. We all have to take responsibility, so I'll raise my hand and said I screwed that up. It's fine.
I will say this about Skeens. He looks like he should throw 100 miles an hour.
Yes, he does.
So, like, maybe some guys can throw 100 miles an hour. Not everybody, though.
Yeah. And by the way, going back to Verlander's interview, that was Verlander's point, was that not everybody's built the same. He said he actually grew into his body. He needed college in order to grow into his body and become the type of pitcher. But you have to remember about Verlander, just going back a little bit here, is that when he was at his peak, and he still does it now, but it's different at age 40 than it was at age 27. he would start out games where he's throwing 91, 92.
You don't got to tell
me. And then
bro.
In the eighth, yeah, I'm sure you saw enough of this. And then in the eighth inning, he's throwing 99. You're like, what's going on? But he wouldn't, so he wouldn't max out every pitch of the game, which was why he was so important to Detroit. He'd give you innings, dominant innings, and keep your bullpen rested.
You know who did that on his second start of the year is Jordan Hicks. Was like averaging like 94 miles an hour with his fastball. Then like his last pitch, I believe, was his fastest, somewhere up in the 97, 98. So it can be done, people.
He better be up by May. Let's set an over under of April 30th. Which one are you taking?
Under. He should be up like ASAP.
What are we on? April 8th? So it's 3 weeks.
Is there a super two cutoff thing? But like, a guy like that, what do they care? Aren't they going to try to lock this guy up? Like, what do they really care about another year of team control?
Yeah, you have to lock him up. You have to.
Or you can just have 7 years of control. I mean, that's one of the way teams think.
Yeah. Well, let's go back and take a look at what they ended up getting for Gerrit Cole. I mean, I know Joe Musgrove was part of that deal. But that's the way you would treat it, right? The number one overall pick, you don't think you can sign him eventually, and you trade him after 4 years or whatever. Are you looking what they got for Gerrit Cole?
I will. Would you like me to do it right
We're
now?
We're here. Yeah.
I'm getting it up right now. Where the hell's our producer at? I got it right here. Okay. Thought I had it. No. Wait on me, people. Scroll too far. And he was traded by the Pittsburgh Pirates to the Houston Astros for Michael Feliz, Jason Martin, Colin Moran, and Joe Musgrove.
Oh,
they just swung and missed. It's not like he didn't get at the time. It might have been a nice haul.
Yep. You're right. But that's the whole point. Is at the end of the day, you got to look back. You don't judge trades the day after they happen, people. All right, lots of news happening this weekend. Speaking of Gerrit Cole, he's going to start a throwing program. Hopefully he'll be back sooner or later. Trevor Story's another issue. Shoulder, put on the injured list. He's hoping he'll be back at some point this year. Interesting story with Skip Schumacher. They voided the final year of his managerial deal down in Miami during the offseason, which means he will be a managerial free agent after this year. And based on their start, I'm sure he can't wait to get out of there. But on the field, what was the biggest thing that happened over the weekend?
I'm torn between two here. I was going to say the Rangers kind of saying what World Series hangover and just, you know, taking care of business against the Astros and coming out hot and looking just like the Rangers. That's kind of like my 1B. My 1A would be the Royals announcing their presence with authority, sweeping. I know it's the White. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Sweeping the White Sox 4-game sets. Not easy to do. MJ Melendez showing up. You know, 3 go-ahead hits in the series. The pitching has been incredible. Lugo and Michael Wacha have been a nice veteran presence for them. Pair that with some of the young guys. Brady Singer kind of finding a new pitch. He's thrown a 4-seamer this year that's helped him out. So I think that is, to me, very, very interesting because really it's been the Tigers are going to take down the Twins for the Central. Royals are going to be up and coming. But really the Royals have played so well so far that it's going to be a 3, maybe a 4-team race. The Guardians is tough for them. I'd say it's going to be a 3-team race in the AL Central. And really we thought it was only going to be a 2-team race, and the Royals are showing that. They've played really well.
Hold on. Did you just count out my Guardians after they
didn't
took
you just,
games to the series against your Twins?
Yeah, I know the Twins have not hit at all. I'm still counting on the Twins coming back. Didn't you just say that it's going to be really tough for the Guardians without Shane Bieber?
I said it'll be challenging.
Okay, I'll lump them in. I really will, Chris, because I never count the Guardians out. You just kind of can't. They've shown that they're going to be in the hunt for at least quite some time during the season.
Yeah, I actually had a whole thing written on the Royals, but you did a nice job. I will say that some people will say, well, wait a second, they just beat the Royals JV team. Like, what does that matter? But you beat a major league team, got to play them 13 times a year if they're in your division. Rockies, hey, they won their home opener on Friday in grand fashion, right? Ryan McMahon with the grand slam. That was pretty awesome. But it only came after Pete Fairbanks could not find home plate. He walked, I think, all three men that he faced in that final inning. And then afterward, boy, did he go on a Rocky Mountain high.
What was going on in the ninth inning? It looked like maybe you didn't like some of the balls that were coming in.
Yeah, they were horrible. You mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it. So I'd love to see those come out of the humidor tomorrow in a little better shape before they get rubbed up. But
dry or not smooth, or what was the issue?
There was just overall bad. I'm not going to elaborate further than that. They were not uniform from ball to ball, so there's no...
It's tough to throw your slider when the ball goes that way out of your hand, so...
You okay?
I just don't like you starting with an excuse and then saying no excuses. Right? Am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're right. I like Pete Fairbanks a lot.
I do, I love too. I do too.
My question is this, is have pitchers complained about the way that the baseballs are treated in Colorado? We know all about the thin air and all that stuff, but is this a real thing?
It's supposed to be uniform. Every place has a humidor now. Like every single ballpark keeps their balls in a humidor, so they're supposed to be uniform. Now, if he's talking about like they weren't rubbed up uniform, I totally get that. I still can't believe that we just have, you know, bat boys or clubhouse attendants rubbing them up with their hands. Like, what are we doing? Like every stadium should have a machine at the very least that does it and makes it uniform. Or like a sane, logical person would think, let's just get pre-tackified balls.
Right.
From a machine like they have in other leagues, because one, the hitters will like it because they're white and you can see the ball. And two, pitchers will like it because they are uniform and they're pre-tacked. So you don't have to like use anything and you can actually grip the ball. To me, the balls being a problem in Major League Baseball is the dumbest thing that can happen to our sport. We literally own the company that makes the balls and we can't figure this out. And it's such an easy, simple solution. Pre-tackified balls. That's all we need. Okay. That's it.
Yeah. Made me very uncomfortable when Pete Fairbanks was complaining about his balls. I had a tough time. All right. Last thing before we get out of here, a little fun, bigger head scratcher involving a New York team. The dude who got the 2024 Yankees World Series champions tattoo, or Steve Gelbs on SNY, does a great job as the dugout reporter for the Mets. In Cincinnati, they have one of those old-time vending machines that spins around, and they have, like, nasty sandwiches in there, old burgers and stuff. He actually tried them. So which of those two New York moments is more of a head-scratcher?
I don't know if it's a head-scratcher. I just like the Steve Gelb one. And I was watching MLB Network this morning, and Bill Ripken was on there, and he's like, man, I love it. That reminds me of the minor leagues. He goes, you know, when you take these bus trips, and I've experienced this as well, so it really hit home. Sometimes you take minor league bus trips, and like whether the game ends too late or whatever it is, sometimes the only food you stop for is at a truck stop. So you go in, and your whole team is in a gas station looking for dinner, essentially. And he's like, man, you used to get those frozen burritos, pop in the microwave, boom, 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 get back on the bus and get to the next city. And that is exactly what still happens to this day, by the way. You might get some food after the game, but when you're taking those overnight trips and you stop in the middle of the night, you're at a truck stop and you're looking for whatever it can be. A lot of beef jerky gets eaten. If you're really adventurous, you might try one of those burritos or one of the dogs that's been spinning and spinning and spinning. But that one really hit home for me right there.
Yeah. By the way, the tattoo, the Yankees will win another World Series. It might not be this year, but somewhere down the line, you can always change the last two numbers if you have to.
Or just 09. Yeah, just put 09.
Well, let's not go backward. Have a little faith in the forward thinking. The sandwich thing. I love those vending machines so much at the start of my career that I had one put in our house here.
Hey, really? Okay. No. I was going to say, like, with food, I never know with you, Chris.
Hey, based on what I put in this body over 53 years, it wouldn't surprise anybody.
Not only during minor league baseball did I do that a lot, but working with my dad as a pool man, 7-Eleven was it was a staple in our dining, you know, life. So, been there.
That away, brother. That away. All right, quick reminder, shop.johnboymedia.com for those last few journal admission tickets to Friday's live edition of Baseball Today at Boomtown Brewery, downtown Los Angeles, before the Dodgers play host to the Padres. We are back at it again on Tuesday. I believe we're going to go live at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, so please continue to join us in the chat. We love it that you're here and part of the community. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Tuesday on Baseball Today.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.